Let us pray. Oh God, so often we are a people of many words, so much chatter within and without. But now in this moment, quiet every idle word and open us to the singular living word that we might be nourished upon your life and your way. Amen. These last few weeks in worship, we have been looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. It'll take us to the end of June. And we have heard from this Kohelet, that's the Hebrew word for the teacher or the preacher who has gathered all the people to hear his wisdom. And we have seen that for the most part, his is a deep wisdom, but it is a wisdom full of despair. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing ever changes, we heard a few weeks ago. And he says, you know what? More knowledge, more wisdom, it actually just leads to more sorrow, more confusion. It's impossible to tell what time it is. Was it a time to do this or a time to do that with my life, our lives? Last week, it's impossible to do any kind of real, lasting justice in this world. Time and again, there is this despair at life under the sun, as he puts it, this lament. But then, chapter 5, which is our reading today, it's one of the few places his voice changes. He offers a notably different tone and perspective. It's a passage really reminiscent of Psalm 73. If you read through it, the psalmist is lamenting, why do the evil and my foes, they seem to prevail and prosper? And then he writes, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply.
Due to technical difficulties, a portion of today's sermon was not recorded.
How important is this point that Kohelet says, honestly, it's better, again, if you just don't say the words or the prayers or any of it, if it's just thoughtlessly chattering away, come to listen. And so what does it look like for us to guard our steps before God? What does it look like to create that space within and without that allows us to truly listen for that which is of heaven, that might shape and inform our hearts and ways on earth? For some of us, it's a few deep, faithful prayers of breath. For many, it's that prelude space in the worship service that is so important for opening the heart. Still others start earlier in the morning. Certain routines are essential for your heart's posture to open vulnerably. But whatever it is that allows you to truly be freely present before the living God, the call of Kohelet is to prioritize doing that. Guard. Do whatever it takes. Make that a priority. Because if we can open long enough before living water, before our God who is in heaven, we may not hear from God all of the answers. We may not be given perfect clarity on all the matters before us and in this world, but our godly imagination will be stirred because we will have a clearer vision of the heavenly and what it might look like for life on earth to be as it is in heaven. As I watched Leo stare so determinedly at that water, it struck me that these minutes in front of that water was probably blowing away all of his previous paradigms about how gravity works. Up until that last week, everything in his life told him that things go down, not up. Open the hands in the high chair and the macaroni and cheese goes down every time and Dexter eats it. Step down a step and you fall forward. Turn the cup upside down, the water goes down. But now, for the first time, something is going up that has gone down every other time. Water is going up. The paradigm is being blown open. I can't imagine what's spinning in his head. If we come before God without all of our chatter within and without, if we come foremost seeking to simply attend and listen, we will begin to see that ours is a God of living water that works and travels in surprising and upside down ways that fundamentally turn over our paradigms. For instance, if we come foremost seeking to listen and attend, we will hear Jesus speak really upside down things, right? Just when we kind of assumed it really is, it's better and best to have money and means. It's unfortunate for those souls that are really just trying to get by. And that's just about as obvious as the direction gravity pulls. And then we listen before living water who speaks, "Blessed are the poor, the last shall be first." Just when all the chatter trumpets to us the importance of being happy and finding happiness and feeling happy and doing whatever it takes to be in that space, we then settle before living water who speaks, "Blessed are those who mourn." Just when all the chatter makes you believe that you really do, you need to worry more about but your savings and the retirement and the children and what's going to become of the grandchildren. Are you doing enough about this situation, that problem? You get before that living water shooting upwards. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Just when all the world's chatter makes it clear how you should deal with the people who have wronged you or forgotten you or overlooked you, who have wronged the city, who have voted differently, who have wronged the nation, well, it's an eye for an eye. It's jail for the bad. It's bombs for the evil. I mean, that's not rocket science. That's the direction gravity goes with these things. But you attend before living water. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Put away your sword, Peter. Forgive 70 times 7. Or again, just when our guilt, our shame, our failing, our disappointment with ourselves, our addiction comes back, pulls us down again, we feel that gravity has forever pressed us into this failure. We attend for living water, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are free. Perhaps most stunning of all, just when we thought death is surely the inevitable end, death, the most obvious, most powerful of all gravitational pulls on this earth, we attend, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live." You stare and listen for Jesus, and what you hear come through is nothing short of gravity-defying water breaking through what we assume to be utterly concrete realities. It is fountains of life shooting in the opposite direction. That's what we get when we come before God. And we stare long enough, and the imagination becomes sanctified with holy possibilities so upside down and so good, we never would have dreamt them or even hoped for them had we just remained running all around with our anxious chatter, the only thing we can hear. You see, I think as followers of Jesus Christ in our day and age, and as busy as we all are, and as many words as we have in our society, I think our most needful thing is not 3 or 4 tips on how to live better, to be a little better, to get straightened out a little better, back on track. What we need in the church are sanctified imaginations captured by our paradigm-breaking God. I love that quote from the early 20th century French writer Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. "If you want to build a ship, don't drum up the men to gather wood, divide the work, and give orders. Instead, teach them to yearn for the vast and endless sea." If you want to see lives truly change, you want to see the church grow and flourish, you want to see God and God's kingdom built and grown in this city, in this world, don't provide a list of do's and don'ts. Attend fully to the gravity-defying living water who is Jesus and find yourselves captive to something previously unimaginable. I mean, this really is what happened on Pentecost as described in Acts 2, right? Jesus has told his disciples in chapter 1 to wait in Jerusalem for the promised Holy Spirit. No moving, no planning, no figuring it all out, just open, listening posture. And then chapter 2, you heard, suddenly from heaven, the space where God fully dwells, suddenly from heaven the Holy Spirit falls on this eclectic group of people, if we keep reading, people of different tribe, tongues, and nations, people who could not previously even communicate are now understanding each other in different languages. I mean, this is a water-defying gravity moment. mean, who could have imagined words being used in ways where people of different cultures, backgrounds are now connecting, reconciling, making community? All these words. And it's beautiful. And in our world of heightened division and where different people groups and like thinking groups and like educated group and like looking groups would congregate almost like a gravitational pull, we can barely imagine, I think, this upside down scene. But the truth is, I believe God wants to do things in our lives and in this church and our city that are truly beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. And we say, well, how will that practically happen? What's the next practical step? Heed the word of Jesus and become like a child. Because oftentimes it is we adults who get so anxious or antsy or bored, and we try to move on to the next thing or get to the next thing or speak up when the silence is awkward or difficult. Become like a child. Situate yourself before living water and stare and listen with wonder and intensity. Let Jesus shape your heart's imagination. And in that reverent listening, your heart is captured with a yearning for the vast and endless sea of God's kingdom within here and out there. You will have the most central thing you need for the previously unimaginable journey. Amen.